All glories be to the Lord. Our bodies be so good. Our bodies be good when she go, and our bodies be so good. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Tasya paramani
paramani
udarani udarani
udarani
parigitani surihi
bruhi
nash
sadhananam
lilaya
dharatha
Kala,
kala,
tasya karmanyudarani,
tasya karmanyudarani,
parigitani suribhi,
parigitani suribhi,
bruhina shadhananam,
bruhina shadhananam,
lilaya dharatha kala,
lilaya dharatha kala,
tasya karmanyudarani, parigitani suribhi
parigitani suribhi
bruhina shradhananam
bruhina shradhananam
lilaya dharatha kala
lilaya dharatha kala
tasya karmanyudarani
tasya karmanyudarani
parigitani suribhi
parigitani suribhi
bruhina shradhananam lilaya dharatha kala
lilaya dharatha kala
tasya karmanyudarani
tasya karmanyudarani
parigitani suribhi
parigitani suribhi
bruhina shradhananam
bruhina shradhananam
lilaya dharatha kala
lilaya dharatha kala Tasya karmanyudarani
parigitani
suribhi
bruhina shradhananam
bruhina shradhananam
lilaya
dharatha kala
Tasya karmanyudarani
Tasya karmanyudarani
Advented.
Kala.
Kala.
Incarnation.
Incarnation.
Translation. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narad sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. Purport. The personality of Godhead is never inactive, as some less intelligent persons suggest. His works are magnificent and magnanimous. His creations, both material and spiritual, are all wonderful and contain all variegatedness. They are described nicely by such liberated souls as Srila Narad, Vyas, Valmiki, Devala, Asita, Madhva, Sri Chaitanya, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Sridhar, Vishwanath, Baladev, Bhaktivinoda, Siddhanta Saraswati, and many other learned and self-realized souls. These creations, both material and spiritual, are full of opulence, beauty, and knowledge. But the spiritual realm is more magnificent due to its being full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. The material creations are manifested for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by false things. Such foolish men have no information of the reality, and they take it for granted that the false material manifestation is the all in all. But for more intelligent men, guided by sages like Vyasa and Narada, know that the eternal kingdom of God is more delightful, larger, and eternally full of bliss and knowledge. Those who are not conversant with the activities of the Lord and His transcendental realm are sometimes favored by the Lord in His adventures as incarnations, when He displays the eternal bliss of His association in the transcendental realm. By such activities, He attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. Some of these conditioned souls are engaged in the false enjoyment of material senses, and others in simply negating their real life in the spiritual world. These less intelligent persons are known as karmis, or fruitive workers, and jnanis, or dry mental speculators. But above these two classes of men is the transcendentalist known as satvata, or the devotee, who is busy neither with rampant material activity nor with material speculation. He is engaged in the positive service of the Lord, and thereby he derives the highest spiritual benefit unknown to the karmis and jnanis. As the supreme controller of both the material and spiritual worlds, the Lord has different incarnations of unlimited categories. Incarnations like Brahma, Rudra, Manu, Prithu, and Vyas are his material qualitative incarnations. But his incarnations like Rama, Nrsimha, Varaha, and Vamana are his transcendental incarnations. Lord Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations, and he is therefore the cause of all causes. So this is continuing with the question that the sages have about the topics on the Lord. So six questions are being asked in this chapter. So one of them is about the Lord's transcendental pastimes. So this question, then we see, then there are a lot of points made on it to bring out the glories of it, because it's very special. It's actually the active principle. The others are going to be how to understand the essence. What is religion? What is the essence of all the scriptures? All these different aspects. But then we see here that this is describing that directly the Lord's pastimes be described. Because this then becomes something special. This becomes important. So here then these pastimes that are meant is magnificent and gracious, or magnificent and magnanimous. That when it comes to the Lord's qualities, then it's magnificent. It's something special. It's something wonderful. Because when He is doing it, then it becomes very nice. So therefore we see even the material world, you know, some special glories of it are pointed out. That these glories are good because the Lord Himself is doing these activities. The Lord Himself is the one who is projecting these. So then it's nice, because then we see the connection with the Lord. Anything connected with the Lord is good. So we see that because it's come from the Lord, even the material world is special. It's variegated. It has so many wonderful things happening. And it has this magnificent aspect to it. And because it is a pastime of the Lord, then it also has this magnanimity. The difficulty is then when the living entity thinks that this is everything, this is all in all, and doesn't see the Lord, that's when then we point out the downside. That it's a reflection, it's a perverted reflection, and those who take this most seriously, then they're less intelligent. They're not special, right? They're not on a well-situated. So that's then what is going on here. So this magnanimity then is, he is performing these activities, so that you do realize that when they come in over a 5-minute period is extremely distracting, don't you? And especially when the class is already starting. So then when the activity, the pastimes are going on, then he is doing this out of his kindness for the living entities and for the devotees. The living entities are devotees, but they may not realize they're not. So in any case, whether they realize they're not, his performance is due to his magnanimity, his kindness. So we see it's based on rasa, based on relationship. But it may or may not be reciprocated. That's the thing. The living entities may reciprocate, may not reciprocate the activities of the Lord. Right? But he is doing it for that reason. So the whole thing is going on because of his relationship with the living entities. So it's all rasa. But the living entities, they get bewildered by this and they don't know it. Right? They just take it for granted that what's the material world? This is it. What's important here is important, and they don't actually see the Lord. They don't see the relationship. Therefore, the impersonalism, right? Impersonalism, voidism, is they don't see the Lord in his pastimes here in the material world or in the spiritual world. They don't understand what is going on. The Lord has come, performs his pastimes as his personal incarnations, as Ramachandra, as Vamana, and also then as his qualities, material qualities, and as Prithu, Vyasadeva, and others. So he, on so many levels, performs his wonderful pastimes so that people can take part in them, so that they can be absorbed in them. But this is missed by the materialistic living entity. So then, in that, then, Prabhupada gives that there's two classes of these materialistic living entities, the karmis and the jnanis. So the karmis are completely bewildered by the material energy and completely absorbed. Well, the karmis, then they are just trying to get out of it. But in getting out of it, they're not recognizing where they should be going. They don't recognize the relationship with the Lord. They leave that. They don't. They're not able to establish that. So in either case, whether the karmis or jnanis, they're all basically impersonalists. Right? Some are directly, some are indirectly. The impersonalists feel that the variegatedness of the world is useless, and their goal, where they're going to go, is also without variegatedness. So on both stages, they recognize it in this way. And the materialists, the karmis, then they see material energy as full of rasa, but they don't understand it's just perverted, reflected rasa. It's not real. And so then they absorb themselves there without having any clue of the spiritual also. So this weakness is there on both parties, is that they don't see actually the transcendental rasa. Some see transcendence, some see rasa. But the transcendence is without that personal interaction, and it's without connection to the Lord. And the karmis, they see rasa, but without any connection to the Lord. So it's actually not, it's not properly situated. It's not actually real. So there's a very vast difference between the two. In the spiritual world, there is recognized of the enjoyer and enjoyed. While in the material world, it's not recognized. Each person feels they are the enjoyer and who they deal with is the enjoyed. So you get simultaneously the passive and the active happening at one time. So the active is this, I'm the enjoyer, the other person is the enjoyed. But they are also the enjoyer. So then that reverses it. So the enjoyed becomes the enjoyer. So that throws it into the opposite, the passive form. And so then this mix, that's why you can't be satisfied in it. Because of that principle, is that it's everybody's taking that mood. So the devotee takes the mood, I am Krishna's servant. Then when you have two enjoyed, they can also have a very nice relationship. Like that. That also functions. That also can work. Because they then have a common person that they're serving. So then you can take unlimited enjoyed, and they can work together for a common enjoyer. So then rasa will work there. It'll function. But on the other, where you have two enjoyers, then it's very difficult. One may say, but what happens when Krishna interacts with other Vishnu tattvas? But they have the mood that with Krishna they are enjoyed. They don't think they are the enjoyer. They are the enjoyer with everybody else. But with Shakti they are enjoyer. But with Krishna they are enjoyed. So they have this dual aspect. You know? But yeah. So then if someone knows, if someone engages in devotional service, then they go beyond both the karmas and the yanis. What they gain, what they enjoy, what they understand is greater than any of them. What the karmi, he's trying to enjoy the material energy. He cannot enjoy it as much as the devotee will get enjoyment out of it. Because if they're trying to enjoy it, well, the devotees are enjoying it. Right? One, this may be a bewildering point. Let us say you have a group of persons, they get together, just naturally they're happy with each other, they get out something to eat, and they're having a good time. They're just naturally enjoying. But let's say you get some people and go, hey, we have to enjoy. Okay, so how to enjoy? Okay, right here it says that, okay, you sit down, you laugh, you joke, you eat something, and all that. Okay, so who's got the food? Okay, here it is. Okay, is it good enough food? What kind of food are we supposed to enjoy? Okay. Then they get all these things together, and then they're having a good time. Oh, aren't we enjoying so much? Yeah, this is really great, and you know, this is so wonderful. And so they feel some pleasure. But it's not actually natural. It's not real. So that's the thing. The karmis are going, okay, if I do this yajna, then I'll go to this heavenly planet, and then I'll get all these facilities, right? I get this nice big park, you know, everybody's very beautiful, I live so long, I'm not going to die, all these different things, so it must be great. Okay. But then they go for it. The jnani says, okay, then if I follow these things, then I'll be able to free myself from the material world, I get into the Brahman, I'll enjoy myself. So they don't actually enjoy. But the devotees, it's because it's natural that they serve the Lord, and in that service they enjoy. So their enjoyment is beyond what the karmis get. That's the thing. Just sometimes from not dealing with it or having distanced oneself with it, then one doesn't, may not realize this. But otherwise, why are the karmis frustrated? Why are they moving from one thing to the next? Devotees and the Lord, there's variety, but it's not that they're tired of one thing. It's just that this is so nice, and then this creates another niceness, and that creates another niceness. So the variety is there to just enhance what's already nice. But the material world, you know, you do something once, wow, that's great, and then the next time it's a little less great, next time it's less great, and then, okay, what else can we do? You know? Yeah, it's a common thing. A mother's cooking for the kid. Okay, this is great, you know, like that. And then tomorrow it's like, you know, I cook this, and so what? You know, anything else? You know, so, hey, you liked it, you know. That was yesterday. That was light years ago. You know? It's like, can't you get with it? So, like that, it just, there's a difference. The materialist is they move on because they have to, because they're not getting any taste anymore. While the spiritualist is always getting constant taste. It's always increasing, ever increasing. So even the impersonal Brahman, which is so nice, even that they get tired of. Right? You can't enjoy it eternally. So therefore, then they have to come back to something active. Another thing is that Krishna, he is attraction. He is attachment. He is rasa. So then that leaves his activities. So he himself is existence. Right? He is the platform on which everything is happening. He is that relationships. He is that attraction. Right? And he is that taste that one gets from the interaction. So then what makes that active, in other words, the difference between he himself as Atmarama and when he manifests, is that he manifests his pastimes. Because otherwise he is himself, so he is self-satisfied. He is attraction, he is attachment, he is rasa. So therefore, there's no problem for him. Right? He's already happy. Expanding that, then you have his pastimes. So therefore, the pastime, therefore, it's another aspect, is magnanimity. He's expanded it to manifest it, because then it increases it. Atmaramas, you're satisfied. Right? Means you have desire. But next to desire is satisfaction. Right? So if you're satisfied, then there's no desire. Right? If you have a desire, you're not satisfied. Does that make sense? So when there's a mode of goodness, you're satisfied. So there's no desire. There's no mode of passion. Right? And when there's a mode of passion, then there's no satisfaction. There's no mode of goodness. So, same way as when the Lord is self-satisfied, Atmarama, there's no desire. So everything's just perfect. But then when to increase that happiness, he manifests desire, but that's transcendental. Then comes the pastimes. So only if there's desire, then you act. If there's no desire, you don't act, right? If you're satisfied with what you have, you don't endeavor to get more, right? If you have desire, you endeavor. It's a very simple formula. So these both are coming out of the existence principle, right? So we see there is that the impersonalists, they are the satisfaction aspect, right? The karmis are the desire aspect. So therefore, they're both part of sat. Right? Therefore, you can say they're both actually, bottom line, impersonalists. Because they're not recognizing actually who they're supposed to be attached to or attracted to. Right? In the category of relationship or sambandha, you have this satisfaction desire. But it's supposed to be in connection with somebody. So one is in connection with Brahman, and not the material world. One is the material world and no form of transcendence. So they both miss it. But the devotee has both. He's satisfied and he has desire to serve the Lord. So he's materially satisfied, but his desire is spiritual. So therefore they get what both of them have and they go beyond. Because then from there, then there's a goal to that. Right? You have desire, there should be a goal. Right? So materialists, their goal is their own satisfaction. But spiritualists is also their own satisfaction. The impersonalists are not trying to please Brahman. By their entering Brahman, they're not doing that out of the pleasure of Brahman. Right? Finally, its long lost peace has come back and merged into itself. That's not their purpose. Right? Their purpose is their own purpose. So they're still the controller. They're still the enjoyer. So when you change that, is that someone else is the controller, right? Then your enjoyer then also changes, right? Because only the controller can be the enjoyer, right? If you're not in control, you're not enjoying, right? Unless you accept the point of enjoying, right? And you surrender to enjoyer, then you enjoy. And in fact, you enjoy more then, right? That's the secret. We think we, by being the controller, we'll enjoy more. But it's actually by being enjoyed, we enjoy more. Right? Because if enjoyer enjoyed more, then why would he have to come as the enjoyed to find out what are they tasting? Because their taste is more. Some say hundreds, some say thousands, some say millions of times more. So it's much greater. Like that. So that act of service then is so much more. So that's not there in either of them. It's seemingly there, therefore the karmi on one side is better than the jnani, because he does have a mood of service, he does have a mood of respect, all these different good qualities that are natural in the spiritual form, but they're perverted. The karmi follows all the good qualities, all the good activities, but from a perverted angle, for his own purpose. Well, the jnani gives all those up. He doesn't respect anyone because he's God. Why should he? He doesn't do any activities. He's already, you know, manifesting, controlling the universe. Right? So he doesn't have to do anything. So they're actually farther from the truth. Though the principle of freeing oneself from the material energy, that's common between the devotees and the impersonalists. But their attitude and their method, you know, generally we see, means is different. So the karmi is actually closer, because karmi can accept the relationships, interactions, you know, that there's a mother and a father and a girlfriend and other friends and servants and all that. Impersonalists can't. So for the karmi, it's very easy for them to accept the Lord's pastimes. But if they don't hear it proper from a proper source, then they just mistake it for material. Therefore, the Bhagavad Saptas and all these things, they can relate very nicely to the Lord's pastimes. But they take them as material. Or the enjoyment they get from them is material. Because they're hearing it from a materialist. So naturally, their enjoyment will be material. This is the difficulty. And then it's going here, then the final point Krishna Prabhupada makes is that Krishna, he is the fountainhead of all these incarnations, so all the pastimes, all the activities are all coming from him. So therefore, he is the fountainhead of all incarnations. So he's the source of everybody and everything. So that's important for the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is getting to the essence. The other shastras describe all the other forms of the Lord. That's their focus. They're always focusing on Vishnumurtis. But if you want to get to the actual essence, then that means they'll be there, but you have to get to Krishna, who is the source of them, the origin of them. So that makes the Bhagavatam, even on the transcendental platform, special, because its focus is actually Krishna, rather than others. Like Vishnu Purana will be Vishnu, Korma Purana will be Korma, like this. They'll all have a different Nishinga Purana, like this. But this gets to Krishna, the origin of all of them. So that makes it special. Any questions on this?
Actually, karma is probably better than the end. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna kind of recommends the end above karma.
It depends on what you're looking at. How you look at it, the karma or jnana will be recommended. If it's for getting out of the material world and situating yourself in the proper, then the jnana is better. Because then with knowledge you are performing. Because the karma is actually ignorant. They're knowledgeable to some degree. They recognize the soul. To be an actual proper karma, you have to recognize the soul. Because otherwise, if you're good this life and you're going to enjoy next life, you have to at least accept the eternality of the soul. If you don't accept that, then you have to be satisfied with just what you're going to get right now, and that's it. So that much they have to do. They have to understand the shastra. They have to understand respective authority. You know, hearing from authority, shabda, these different things. So basic fundamental principles of spiritual life they accept, but basically only in the activities side. But actually the real knowledge of the relationship and their goal, they don't really have. But in the activity, some of the relationships means like, you know, with the teacher, with the parents, with this, that, this, there, nice. But they miss it because they don't take it far enough. Like that. The jnanis, then they know how to get out of the material energy. So that for us is then common. So they perform their activities without attachment and they free themselves. So we do the same thing. But they don't perform any activities. That's the thing. They're doing their minimal sadhana and they're studying and they're, you know,
arguing and all these kind of things. But other than that, they're not performing any other activities. So that's what's special in the Gita, is that it gives the actual processes both. Is that you perform the activities that would normally be called karma with the knowledge and the mood of someone who would be following jnana. So when you perform the duties of karma without attachment to the results, with the knowledge of who you are, who's Krishna in the material world, then that both gives you bhakti and it gets you out of the material world. So that's what's special about the Gita. That's the essence. And then the Bhagavatam then shows that in practical application. Because in the Gita we don't see that application, we only hear about it. You know? Because then when it goes back into the battle, then it will go back again into the platform of religion. You know, so then it will be seen from that angle. It's going on, but it's not being emphasized, the attitude that Arjuna has. So then we see is that when the Bhagavatam opens, it continues from where the Gita left off. It continues with the Pandavas, but now them applying this Nishkam Karma Yoga, that they're performing their duties for Krishna's pleasure. Like that. So that's the special. Otherwise, what's given in the first canto of the Bhagavatam is actually the whole Mahabharata. It means all the major points and stories are all covered there. So that you can see what is their attitude. Then from that, then you can project it back into the larger form. Does that make any sense? So this fine point of the two, because if one doesn't accept these, then the path will be slow. One just gets into his day-to-day life and is doing his duties nicely and figures that's good enough. That's not so special. You know, that's one of the qualities of this age, that if you maintain your family, you're successful. Like that. So devotees also tend to fall into that. They'll give up their spiritual endeavor, or at least dynamic spiritual endeavor, to maintain the family. And they feel quite good about it amongst themselves. And they'll even profess that to others. You know, somebody will say, oh, we're doing this and that. And they'll be like, what about? And they'll make some economic statement. So that's because in this age, that's the attitude. That's considered the topmost thing in this age, is just the guy took the trouble to maintain his family. You know, he's not off at a party somewhere. He's doing something. So that's considered the topmost laudable thing you could ever do. Is that he made the sacrifice to actually take care, and that's it. And if you're doing that, then even the devotees fall into the trap that this is perfect. And then you fit in a little bit here and there. That's okay. We see the Pandavas also, they took care perfectly, but their consciousness was on Krishna. That's what makes it special. Their consciousness is on Krishna. So therefore it looks exactly the same, but it's very different. You know, because then it would be a different thing, rather than, oh, you're going to do that, and then, you know, it's like, well, you know, what about your economic, what about this, what about that? So it would be, oh, that's nice, how are you going to do that, how are you going to do this, you know, how do you fit in? So then it's a matter of how do you fit in your economics into your spiritual. Even though it may be the bulk is material and a small amount is spiritual, but it's understood that the substance of the spiritual is so much more weighty, right? You have one little dinky candle that takes up, you know, what, maybe 1.5 cubic centimeters, right? And then you have this whole room full of volume of darkness. So the materialist will say is, wow, look at the volume of this darkness and just that little bit is light. But someone in knowledge knows that one candle is worth, you know, unlimited rooms of darkness. You know, if you put a candle here, it'll even throw a slight shadow hundreds of feet away. Very slight, but it's that powerful. So that's the difference. So it looks exactly the same. Because otherwise when you bring up these points and yeah, we've heard this, you know, all you swamis trying to destroy all this and that. No. You're already destroyed. You're already destroyed. Material energy has already tricked you long ago. It's now a matter of, do you want to remain like that and then come again and again and again, you know, to continue that mentality? Or is it a matter of this is your method of getting out, right? You like to take care of the family, yes, so do it for Krishna. And by doing that, that's Nishkam Karma Yoga, it's your path of liberation. That's what's being offered. But it's like the cow in the barn that was caught on fire. Anything red, it's fire. And they can't deal with it. Is what's being said is, yes, follow your path of attachment, but engage it in Krishna service. And if you do that, that will be your method of liberation. Right? No impersonalist can offer that. Right? They have to give up everything. Right? Can keep nothing. Do nothing. Then only they get liberated. But here, someone who can be completely in this situation of attachment, economics and sense enjoyment, but because it's done religiously to please Krishna, they're liberated. But the thing is, it has to be done for Krishna. It can't be speculative. That's the point here, is that you know, let's see. The less intelligent persons are known as karmis, or fruitive workers, and jnanis are dry mental speculators. So it has to be according to what Krishna says. Then it's not speculation. Because if we make it up ourselves, it's speculation. It doesn't matter. You can get hundreds, thousands of devotees to say this is correct. It's not correct if it's not supported by Guru Sadhana or Shastra. It doesn't matter. That's the fun thing. Hundreds of emails can go, so many conferences can happen, everybody agrees, but it can be pure nonsense if it's not sure it's supported by Guru Sadhana or Shastra. It may look like it'll give you a great result today, but that result today is gone in a flash. That's the thing. It's gone in a flash. The sentiment of, it's just the modes of nature that said, okay, now's the change. It just changes in one moment. Otherwise, how is it you can say, here are these decades, here are these times. The thing that was so popular today, suddenly tomorrow changes and it's not popular, another thing is completely popular. If it's looked at, it just changes overnight. Some incident can change it, some other influence, like that. It just switches. It's just that the modes of nature decide, okay, now we're doing this. And then they put this combination, the modes of nature. And then everybody decides, hey, this looks good. Right? You can see it in architecture, right? Back in the 60s, you have all these crazy architecture. And then everybody thought it looked great. You look at it now, it looks so strange. Right? It's just the way it is. You know, it's just, that's the modes of nature. Because it's just speculation. It's not based on any particular thing. Right? It's whatever were the rules before, break those rules. Right? And that's your architecture. But then you look at a building that's hundreds of years old, people still go to look at it. Nobody goes to look at a building built in the 60s. Guaranteed. Nobody looks. In fact, they're probably tearing them down and building a new one. But buildings that are hundreds of years old, or even though they're new, they're built on the methods of those old buildings, people still look at them. Right? Because it's with the rules. So that's the point, is it does, even materially, it doesn't matter what everyone says. If it's the other way, it's going to work that way. So let alone spiritually, even materially, it's going to function the way it actually has been created by the Lord. So this is the point of faith that has to be there, is that we have to accept that Krishna is doing these pastimes out of his magnanimity, out of his graciousness. He wants you to be happy. But you can only actually be happy if you're detached. This is the bottom line, right? Is that this is the problem. We want to be attached and happy. And you can't do it. Right? Krishna's the enjoyer, right? No one, you know, as devotees, we would expect no one would, you know, feel that that's a wrong statement, right? Object to that. Now, is Krishna attached? Think about it. What is the quality of Krishna? He tells Arjuna. Is he attached or he's not attached? Huh? He's not attached. Right? He's the supreme enjoyer and he's not attached. Think about it. Right? In other words, attachment and the enjoyment don't go together. He's the enjoyer because he's not attached. Therefore, whatever happens for him is fun. Right? Because attachment means when you attain attachment, you enjoy. But the problem is we're not in control, so we never attain what we want. Sometimes a little bit here and there. So you don't enjoy. So that means the person who's detached enjoys more than the person who is attached. Because he's natural, he's relaxed. Like we mentioned before, the people at the party. They're not attached to having fun at the party, they're just having fun. Well, the people who are attached to having fun that way are not having so much fun. If it goes right, then it's okay. You know, when you're hot, you're hot. Okay, it's happening. They're enjoying, but they don't know why. And then next time, they're frustrated. Yes.
Srila Sridharmaj once said that of the two, bhoga and chad, chad is much more dangerous. Because any fool can wake up one morning and realize that all of this endeavor to enjoy the good bhoga is a waste of time. But chad, those who follow that path, who again, they get addicted to this tapasya, this austerity. And because these things make the heart very hard, they actually can't give it up.
Yeah, that's it. It means one has to see, it's, in any case, it's attachment's the problem. So whether you're attached to attachment or attached to detachment, both are a problem. Like that. You know, that's the thing. That's why it's a matter of just taking what is your attachment engaging the Lord's service. When you look at it materially, it will be seen as detachment is better than attachment because it's closer to getting out of the material world. Therefore, you will take the Brahman is higher than the Shudra, or the Sannyasi is higher than the Brahmachari. Like this, the Grihastha, because just the detachment is more, so they're closer to getting to the edge of out of the material world. But in the process itself, the whole thing is your attachments have to be engaged in the Lord's service, though the attachments will come in the two forms, like you're saying, is that one is attachment to enjoying, one is attachment to not enjoying. Like that. You know, and then, yeah, like that. So it's both there. The difficulty also is that the jnani then gets attached to no relationships and no interaction and that, so then it becomes very hard for them to accept the Lord's pastimes and rasa itself. So that's probably the most dangerous aspect, is that they cannot feel comfortable with the Lord's pastimes. While the karmis, you know, if they're pious, they'll be very happy with it. Like you see, generally, any Indians, they're all very happy with these pastimes. Like that. But they don't know how to interpret it properly, you know. So they go off and have pastimes with their family, and their son is God, and, you know, all these different things, all these, you know, strange aberrations. But the idea, you know, the son is God, and God has pastimes. Now he's, you know, the knocking over the, you know, glass and making a mess on the floor pastime. You know, and all these different things, you know. So one always has to, so that's the thing, it doesn't matter what the situation, it has to be engaged, that's the thing. But it shouldn't be speculative. That was the point we were making here, is that the jnanis speculate because they don't apply it in the activity. And the karmis don't apply the knowledge. So generally you get these two. Even the devotees will fall into this. They get influenced. Is that those who get right into generally the Vedic principle then don't get into, I mean, they get into so many of the activities, they don't think about it. Or they think about it and don't apply it in modern situation. They can't apply it there. Or there are those who get into the modern economics of this and that, but don't think about it. They don't want you to mix philosophy with it. You know, it's just like you always hear the karmis. Many times you preach to the karmis, and then they're always saying, why are you always talking about death? You know, why that's such a major part? You know, it's like, you know, just be happy, we're alive, this, that. We don't want to think about that. So the same way as many times the devotees, they don't want to think about the philosophy applied into their happy little home. Because then their happy little home may not be happy anymore. Because their first thing is, I got to give it up. No, you don't have to give up anything. You have to give up the attachment for it. Right? You can sit there in your house, you can sit there with your millions of rupees or whatever you got, doesn't matter. But you have to be detached from it. Right? And yeah. And we only pointed out that other point, it's just from the materialistic point of view. If you really want to enjoy your house, you can only enjoy it if you're detached from it. If you're attached to it, you don't enjoy it. That's the point. Is the soul can only enjoy when it's in the position of servant. And that is being done for the master. So when the house is being used for the master, the way the master likes it done, then the servant enjoys. That's the fun. Because only Krishna, it can be his house and he can enjoy it. He's the only one that can do that. Everybody else, it has to be someone else's house and they're doing it on their benefit. Then they enjoy it. That's the...
There's a nice story. two school friends, one of them became quite rich and built a huge house. So one day his school friend came, he's grown up now, and he came to the house, he came to the living room, he said, "Why, such a beautiful living room you have." The man said, "Oh, it's not my living room, it's Papaji's living room." So like that, he took him through his old house, he showed him each and every room. And every time his friend said, why, such a beautiful kitchen you have, such a beautiful study you have, such a beautiful bedroom you have. And every time the man said, "It's not my bedroom, it's Papaji's bedroom, not my kitchen, it's Papaji's kitchen." Then finally at the very end, he brought him to the Papaji, to the mandir. So his friend said, why, such a beautiful Papaji you have. He said, "Yes! He is mine. Everything else is his. Then he's mine."
Sometimes we see Krishna has attachment to some devotees.
Yeah. No, that's there. But that's the uniqueness of him. As though he's not detached. He's still attached to his devotees like that. But everything else he's not. He's only attached to that relationship with the devotees. And because of that, then everything else comes. Or we generally tend to be attached to the thing, and then from that we try to eke some rasa from it. But he has the rasa, and then everything that goes with that rasa then becomes part of it. You know, so if his devotee does some activity or is in some place, that place gets benefited. Well, we think if we get the item, then with this I will enjoy rasa. You know, so that's also the difference, is we take it from that external, what Krishna would take it from the actual interaction. So because the devotee has that affection, then that goes on very nicely. So there's also still the difference in, he's not attached to the things, he's attached to the exchange. Or the living entity, whatever they deal with, they get attached to that thing. You know, that's what Krishna tells Arjuna. You get attached, so therefore you're going to do like this. I don't, therefore I don't have to. I don't have to work because I'm not attached. You have to work because you are attached. So therefore, do your proper work that you're attached to in the proper way, you know, with knowledge, and then do that for me. Then you'll benefit. But otherwise, I don't have to do anything because I'm not attached to any of this. He's just attached to rasa with his devotees. Question? Something else? Yeah.
We find that we're not very advanced in the little things in a detached way. Isn't it that we don't be very responsible? We don't do it in a very responsible way.
We don't do it in a responsible way. Yes, this is another mistake that is a common mistake. Is that detachment means neglect. See, the only reason that somebody does something is because they're attached to it. And then because they're attached, they feel whatever is the activity that they do, because it's in pursuance of their attachment, is perfect. That's a very, very major mistake. So what happens is that therefore the principle of duty, right? Problem is that this discussion, if this was a room full of, you know, pious Indians, that would have gone over in the first 2 seconds. You just do your duty. But they get attached to their duty and the results of it. But doing duty is that, But Westerners, it's probably one of the worst words. You know, I mean, it doesn't have detachments longer than four letters, but it's in the same category. It's figured to be that bad. As soon as you say detachment, detachment means absolute neglect, not dealing, you know, spitting on it, kicking it, rolling it down the stairs, doing anything like this. But that is speculation. That is simply Western mental speculation. It's just nuts. And because of this, devotees can't function. They can't blend the two. They can't perform a duty because they're supposed to. They can't do a duty in a detached way that is in the realm of attachment. Right? Household life is in the realm of attachment. To do it, that's duty. To do duty, you have to be detached. So this means the idea is I will only get, it's a very miserly mentality that if I do one thing, then only I can get a taste out of it. I'm only attached, I'll get a taste out of it. Or only detached, I'll get a taste out of it. But the concept that I will do an activity of attachment in a detached way, that there is very little scope. I'm sure if you look back into, you know, old writers and poets and theologians, you'll find some, you know, few bits and pieces of this concept. But in the modern scenario, that's also accepted by devotees. It doesn't exist. Therefore, the essence of the Gita, nobody knows it. It's just not understood. Krishna is saying, again and again, probably says 30 times, do your duty with knowledge, in detachment, for me. Right? But it'll not be taken as essence of Gita. You know, it just won't be seen that way. Then doing that, then, okay, now I've accepted that. Now what's the purest form of that? Because I'm starting from here, I'm starting from my attachment, then I get knowledge about it, then I see what the scriptures say about it, then I perform those things, then I give up that desire for that result, and then I do it for Krishna. So then that's the platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga. But Krishna then says that the highest form of that is to start in the reverse order. Sarvadharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. It means you start with Krishna, what pleases Him. Then you want to serve Krishna. Then you look at what material facilities you have and then use those. So you've already started with pleasing Krishna, detached from the material energy because you just want to please Krishna. You have knowledge about Krishna. Now we can look at what activity I can do with that mentality. So then it comes to that platform. So it's just not seen. And it's almost like, you know, there's a movement to not acknowledge this. You know? Because if you bring these things up, this is all just theory. No, we got to get down to making money. Okay, so you buy some hats. Okay, then? Does that mean great philosophy or what? You know? So the point is then, like that. Or no, but we want to do more respectable than, you know, hats. Okay, so you go to school. So what? Or just go out and get a job. So what? Okay, now what next? We finished that discussion. Okay, first one was, you know, a 2-second discussion. Next one was a 3-second discussion. Now what? What is your mentality? What is your consciousness? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So consciousness is the real thing. Varnashram is full. I mean, you think the grihasthas aren't making money? You think business persons aren't making money? Right? Western first world culture is basically based on the bourgeois principle. That means business person. Varnashram, they don't make money? You're telling me all those Indians in America that are living in the big houses and the Mercedes aren't making money? You know? And then all the Westerners are working for them? They're not making money. Why are they making more money than the Westerners? And you take as a community, they're the richest community in America. Why? Because they're doing it as part of Varnashram. That's why they have more money. And the Westerners are not. Therefore, they make less money. Because they're not pious. The Indians are pious. They make more. The Westerners are impious. They make less. As a community. Right? You can say, well, there's plenty of Americans making money. Yeah, but this, we're talking, okay, out of 260 million. Okay, how many million are Indians? Right? Now you bring 260 million Indians over there, then we'll see who's making more money. Like that. So this is the point. It's just practical. You want to get down to it. It's practical. That's the whole problem. The thing is, Prabhupada's trying to say Krishna consciousness is practical. All your material and spiritual needs can be taken care of. That's what he says here. He says, he who is engaged in positive service to the Lord, and thereby he derives the highest spiritual benefit unknown to the karmas and jnanas. He gets both. If you get the spiritual, material follows in its way. Right? Prabhupada says that the person who is liberated, all the, you know, dharma artha, the devotee, the dharma artha kama moksha, stand at the door if they can do some service. And generally they don't even bother to take it. Right? They're happy sitting under their tree. Right? Like that. So it basically just comes down to a matter of faith if the devotees are willing to accept that this is how it works. Because it is a big step in faith that I'm going to perform an activity in a detached mood and get a result. And not only that, the result's not going to be for me, so I'm not even the one going to enjoy it, but I'm going to be happy. Right? Therefore, the uniqueness of devotional service. You're going to be happy by not trying to enjoy it. Alright? You're going to endeavor for it because you're detached. These principles don't apply, so they don't seem to be logical. Therefore, the Western mind basically tries to refuse to accept them. And they get down to more practical, you know, like that, interested. They just get into their little things, and that's it. But the principle is if they're accepted, it works so nicely. Devotees before were just going out preaching this and that. Our temples were never so opulent. They didn't know what to do with the money. You had to put onyx on the altar, you know, put in this, build a new building. You had to do something with it. There was so much money. As soon as they decided, no, we want to have it, there's nothing. Nothing. So you can look at it. Now, if that's not practical, if that's not down to earth, if that's not historical, if that's not scientific, you could do statistics on it. And look at it. But then, that's fearful. That's very fearful, because then what does that mean? I'm a bozo. And I blew it. And there's no one else to blame but myself. Because the materials, even if something's wrong, then it's someone else's fault. Right there. Bang. Someone else's fault. The material mentality forces you to think like this. So that's the only thing. It's not that there's anything wrong. It's just normal. You know, you sit in a mud puddle, you're going to get muddy. So if devotees maintain a materialistic outlook, then they're going to think like this. They're going to think like everybody else. It's right there in the scriptures. They tell how you're going to think. And what's even more fun is they think, no, we're different. We're special. We're unique. We're in between the two worlds. Yeah, that's called a ghost. Right? You have earth, you have heaven, and what's in between are ghosts. So that's the thing. They can't enjoy, they can't get serious. So that's the principle. It's just take up devotional service seriously, it works. That's why all these examples are given. They're here just to be convinced us. That's why the first nine cantos are there. Just accept it. Situate yourself there. Be a natural devotee. Then the tenth canto will be, you'll find pleasure in that. You'll be happy. You'll be absorbed in it. Otherwise, then you won't be. You'll be so distracted by your other needs that you'll have no time for it. You know? So that's the point. It's just, it's all it is consciousness. Right? The man is coming to the temple. He's a businessman, he's doing all his things, he has his family, he has his whole thing. He always finds time to come to the temple. He always finds money to give, he always finds, you know, endeavor he can do, time he can spend, services he can do, right? You know, take up some responsibility for a festival or for some other thing.
And whenever they have free time, then him and his family, they all come to the temple. Yes? No? Is his money going on? Is his business happening? Is his family flourishing? Are they interacting with each other? Yes. Take the devotee that moved out and tries to do what he's doing. Do they have any time to come to the temple? Do they have any money to give to the temple? Right? What are they doing when they're at home? Talking about Krishna? Right? So then, this is my point. Millions of people are doing it, but devotees aren't accepting it, and therefore they want to blame the system because they're never wrong. Materialistic mentality is never wrong. It's always someone else's fault. That's the thing. It's always someone else's fault. It's just the way it's engineered. It's hardwired that way. So it's not a fault. In a moment you can change that by just changing the consciousness. That's what's the beauty of it. No matter how bad or bleak it looks, you just change the consciousness, it's already perfect. It's already wonderful. That's what's so nice about the process. In a moment you can just change it and everything's wonderful. That's all it takes. You know? Like he was saying, you know, that the comment was there, is that anybody can wake up and go, hey, this is crazy. In fact, that's what midlife crisis is. Everyone wakes up and goes, what I'm doing is crazy. So now you have an alternative. You either get into something spiritual, or you pick a new material path. Like that. So it's just, everyone's going to have to face that one day. Yes?
When Divya Amin was having his reign of terror, I think it was Kenya, I don't
know.
Uganda. So many hundreds of thousands of Indians had to escape, and most of them came to England. The one man, he ended up somehow at Chaitanya College, and they were auctioning the who will be able to offer the first arati to Panchatattva Padmanabha. So this man, he had a plea, he came to England. As much as he pledged to be able to offer the arati, that was it. We had no more money. That was the end. But somehow or other we have this faith that if I can offer the arati, that is worth more than anything else. And so he was the one to offer the arati, and 1 month later he bought him the savings plan.
Yeah. These things are going on. Yeah. You go to the Indian community, and you know, it's like, what do they do? I can't remember what the word's called, but where everyone stands up and says, yeah, how when they, you know, accepted Jesus, then these things happened. And, you know, and everybody goes through and they all become inspired. Yeah. But the point is, it goes on. It's real. You know, like that. But the point is that's the thing, is the devotee doesn't notice it because he's so absorbed in service. It's just happening. And then if it goes up, he's happy. If it goes down, he's happy. You know? Well, those who are more materialistic, as it goes up, their happiness goes down, and they start to get upset or lose faith or like that. So that's the thing, is that that's where these stories are there. The Pandavas, they're okay in the forest, even though they had everything. So then like that, the same way we should be, is it comes up and down. We shouldn't get overly bewildered by these things. Because it's the Lord's pastime, and how he does it, it's his fun. You know, it's like we were just reading the other day. Krishna's come into the forest, right, to see the Pandavas. As soon as he heard that they had been exiled, and immediately he came. And it says, you know, if I had been there in Dwarka when I heard about it, I would have come immediately. I would have stopped that gambling match. I would have done all these different things. But what to do? I was away on business, so I didn't know about it. I just came to know afterwards. Like that, and that, you know, we should immediately go and destroy them and do this and do that. And, you know, all these kind of emotional things, you know, a normal person would react to. You should, no, you know, this, that, and yes, okay, but it is true, you know, Yudhishthira's taken his vow, so then, you know, we can't go again. So therefore, we're stuck with the 13 years in the forest and that. But, you know, since we're here, then, you know, like this and that. But we'll get him later. Like that. And then afterwards, the Draupadi's going, says, hey, you're the supreme controller.
You know everything. You're in every atom, between every atom. You're doing everything. You inspire everything. He says, you did all this. Like that, you know. So it just keeps going back and forth, you know. So he's just having fun. That's all. And the devotees, then they take part in it, then they also have fun. They're happy. You know, Yudhishthira was sitting there now instead of being politically minded, you know, sitting in the palace. Now he's sitting there with hundreds or sometimes thousands of Brahmins and sages. And those sages included Narad, Vyas, you know, Markandeya, Deva. They would all come and sit with them and discuss and all that. So actually it was a better situation than when he was emperor of the world. So when he's emperor of the world, they only come very rarely. But here they sit with him all day, you know. It's very nice. Anything else, or we'll finish it? Guntaraj Shivan Bhagavatam ki, Shivan Bhagavatam ki, Samavita Bhaktivinda ki, Jagatai Govindavinda ki.
So in his part, he can go to
that was a very good cover, I must compliment.